The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi there, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is Blueberries for Cell by Robert McCloskey. One day, little Cell went with her mother to Blueberry Hill to pick blueberries. Little Cell brought along her small tin pail, and her mother brought her large tin pail to put the berries in. "We will take our berries home, and we will can them," said her mother, "and then we will have food for the winter." Little Cell picked three berries and dropped them in her little tin pail. Plink, plunk, kaplunk. She picked three more berries, but she ate them. And then she picked more berries and dropped one in the pail. Kaplunk. And the rest she ate. Then Little Cell ate all four blueberries out of her pail. Her mother walked slowly through the bushes, picking blueberries as she went and putting them in her pail. Little Cell struggled along behind, picking blueberries, but eating every single one. Uh-oh. Little Cell hurried ahead and dropped a blueberry in her mother's pail. It didn't sound kaplunk or kaplink because the bottom of the pail was already covered with blueberries. She reached down inside to get her berry back. Though she really didn't mean to, she pulled out a large handful because there were so many blueberries right up close to the one that she had put in. Her mother stopped picking and said, "Now, Cell, you run along and pick your own berries. Mother wants to take her berries home and can them for next winter." Her mother went back to her picking, but Little Cell, because her feet were tired of standing and walking, sat down in the middle of a large clump of bushes and ate blueberries. On the other side of Blueberry Hill, Little Bear came with his mother to eat blueberries. "Little Bear," she said, "eat lots of berries and grow big and fat. We must store up food for the long, cold winter." Little Bear followed behind his mother as she walked slowly through the bushes eating berries. Little Bear stopped now and then to eat berries, and then he had to hustle to catch up. There the picture shows Little Bear running to catch up to his mother. Because his feet were tired of hustling, he picked out a large clump of bushes and sat down right in the middle and ate blueberries. Yum, yum. Think of all those blueberries. Over on the other side of the hill, Little Cell ate all of the berries she could reach from where she was sitting. And then she started out to find her mother. She heard a noise from around a rock and thought, "That's my mother walking along." But it was Mother Crow and her children, and they stopped eating berries and flew away, saying, "Caw, caw, caw." And then she heard another noise in the bushes and thought, "That surely is my mother, and I will go that way." But it was Little Bear's mother instead. She was tramping along, eating berries, and thinking about storing up food for the winter. Little Cell trampled right along behind. Uh-oh, she's following the bear instead of her mother. By this time, Little Bear had eaten all the berries he could reach without moving from his clump of bushes. And then he hustled off to catch up with his mother. He hunted and hunted, but his mother was nowhere to be seen. He heard a noise from over a stump and thought, "That's my mother walking along." But it was a mother partridge. A partridge is a bird. But it was a mother partridge and her children. They stopped eating berries and hurried away. And then he heard a noise in the bushes and thought, "Now that surely is my mother. I will hustle that way." But it was Little Cell's mother instead. She was walking along picking berries and thinking about canning them for next winter. Little Bear hustled right along behind. Uh-oh, he was following Little Cell's mother now, and he didn't even know it. Little Bear and Little Cell's mother and Little Cell and Little Bear's mother were all mixed up with each other. among the blueberries on Blueberry Hill. Little Bear's mother heard Sal walking along behind and thought it was Little Bear, and she said, "Little Bear, munch, munch, eat all you gulp can possibly hold. Swallow." Little Sal said nothing. She picked three berries and dropped them, ka-plink, ka-plunk, ka-plunk, in her small tin pail. Little Bear's mother turned around to see what on earth could make a noise like ka-plunk. "Grumph!" she cried, choking on a mouthful of berries. "That is not my child. Where is Little Bear?" She took one good look and backed away. She was old enough to be shy of people, even a very small person like Little Sal. Then she turned around and walked up very fast to hunt for Little Bear. Little Sal's mother heard Little Bear tramping along behind and thought it was Little Sal. She kept right on picking and thinking about canning blueberries for next winter. Little Bear padded up and peeked into her pail. Of course, he only wanted to taste a few of what was inside, but there were so many, and they were so close together that he tasted a tremendous mouthful by mistake. "Now, Sal," said Little Sal's mother, without turning around, "you run along and pick your own berries. Mother wants to can these for next winter." Little Bear tasted another tremendous mouthful and almost spilled the entire pail of blueberries. Little Sal's mother turned around and gasped, "My goodness, you are not Little Sal. Where, oh, where is my child?" Little Bear just sat munching and munching and swallowing and licking his lips. Little Sal's mother slowly backed away. She was old enough to be shy of bears, even very small bears like Little Bear. And then she turned and walked away very quickly to look for Little Sal. She hadn't gone very far before she heard a ka-plink, ka-plank, ka-plunk. She knew just what made that kind of noise. Little Bear's mother had not hunted very long before she heard a hustling sound that stopped now and then to munch and swallow. She knew just what made that kind of a noise. Little Bear and his mother went home down one side of Blueberry Hill, eating blueberries all the way and full of food stored up for next winter. And Little Sal and her mother went down the other side of Blueberry Hill, picking berries all the way, and drove home with food to can for next winter, a whole pail of blueberries and three more besides. And now you can see a picture here of Little Sal and her mother in the kitchen, and the mother is canning the blueberries and putting them in glass jars to store, and Little Sal is standing on a chair and playing with a wooden spoon and some of the lids that her mother is going to put on those glass jars to keep them good and ready for when they're ready to eat these blueberries in the winter. And that's the end of Blueberries for Sal. Our next book is Llama, Llama, Mrs. Mama by Anna Dudney. Llama, llama, warm in bed. Wakey, wakey, sleepy head. Llama, school begins today. Time to learn and time to play. Make the bed and find some clothes. Brush the teeth and blow the nose. Eat some breakfast. Clean the plate. Whoops! Oh my, we're running late. Drive to school and park the car. Tell the teacher who you are. Meet new faces, hear new names, see new places, watch new games. Hang the coat and say goodbye. Llama, llama, feeling shy. Mama, llama goes away. Llama, llama has to stay. Poor llama, llama, he's looking very worried. Strange new teacher, strange new toys, lots of kids and lots of noise. What would llama like to do? Llama, llama feels so new. Build a castle out of blocks. Make a rocket from a box. Llama, llama shakes his head. Llama walks away instead. Here's a little chug-a-choo with a captain and a crew. Would the llama like to ride? Llama Llama tries to hide. Reading stories on the rug. Kids are cuddled, sitting snug. There are all the kids around the teacher, snuggling up to her. Would the llama like to look? Llama Llama hates that book. Llama Llama is not being very nice right now, is he? Time for lunch. Now find a seat. Llama doesn't want to eat. Llama makes a little moan. Llama Llama feels alone. Llama misses Mama so. Why did Mama Llama go? Poor little llama, he doesn't understand that at school, your mama can't stay with you. You have to stay at school and learn and play. It's too much for little llama. Llama Llama misses Mama. There the kids are all sitting around having lunch. And Llama Llama is crying, and he's not eating his lunch. Don't be sad, new little llama. It's okay to miss your mama. But don't forget, when day is through, she will come right back to you. Llama Llama, please don't fuss. Have some fun. Play with us. And there the other kids are asking Llama Llama to play with her. Play with them, sorry. Put on coats and run outside. See the playhouse. Try the slide. Tag and jump rope. Hide and seek. Close your eyes and do not peek. Now Llama is starting to play with the kids. Now it's time to write and draw and write. Great big crayons. Colors bright. Take some paper from the stack. Mama Llama, you came back. Teacher gets a goodbye hug. Wave to friends on the reading rug. Climb the playhouse with the slide. See if Mama fits inside. She's down there on her hands and knees, and she does fit inside the playhouse. Lots to show and lots to say. Back again another day. He loves Mama. And also, and school too. And that's the end. That's how Llama learns that school is not a bad place to go. It's actually sort of fun. Our next book is Daniel's Good Day by Misha Archer. Daniel knows many people in his neighborhood. Have a good day, they tell him as he walks to Grandma's house in the morning. Excuse me, he says to Mrs. Sanchez, but what makes a good day for you? When skies are clear so I can paint, she tells him, and there she is up a ladder painting the side of a house. He sees Emma heading to the park with a kite. What makes a good day for you? Daniel asks. A steady wind, says Emma. She wants to fly her kite and she needs a good wind. A day in the park with a bench in the shade, his neighbors tell him, and there's an older lady and an elderly man sitting together on a park bench and having a chat in the morning. A long nap for the babies, the nanny says. They're the two twins. The nanny is holding two twins, and they are crying, and she just needs them to go to sleep so they can have a nice walk. Nice sleep. And maybe they'll fall asleep when she starts to wheel them around in the baby carriage. A please and a thank you, says the bus driver. That would make a good day for me. Bees on a flower, the gardener says. Birthday, says the baker, because I guess he likes to make birthday cakes. What do you think? Wagging tails, the mail carrier says. The mail carrier does not like to see big, scary dogs chasing him or barking loud, but he likes to see a dog that's happy and wags his tail at him. The newsstand tells him, busy sidewalks and friendly faces. That means lots of people will come and buy his magazines and newspapers. Everybody home safe, says the crossing guard. When Daniel gets to Grandma's, she tells him, a hug from you makes my day good. In the afternoon, Daniel walks home with Grandma. The gardener is humming along with the bees. Let's see what else happens. The baker and the bus driver are all smiling. Emma has found her wind, and there's her kite up in the sky. She even lets Daniel have a turn to fly the kite. The babies are sleeping in the baby buggy. A couple sits on the shady bench. Lots of people seem to be having a good day everywhere, and there's lots of kids sitting on a blanket in the park and playing with balloons. They must be having a birthday party outside in the park. At home, his mom asks, "How was your day, Daniel?" And Daniel says, "I had such a good day. There was a clear sky, a steady wind, a shady bench, a long nap, but not for me, and pleases and thank yous, bees on flowers, but not at a birthday picnic. Wagging tails, busy sidewalks, friendly faces, hugs from Grandma, and from you, Mom. And everybody is home safe," adds Grandma. "Now, how about some ice cream for your good day, Daniel?" "Yes," Daniel says, "that will make it a perfect day." And that's the end of Daniel's good day. It sounds like a good day, doesn't it? This book is Pinkalicious and Tutu-rific. Allison and I giggled as we tried to balance on our toes. Tomorrow we were going to the ballet class together. I was pink with glee. She certainly was happy. I had never taken a ballet class before, but Allison had. "You'll love it," she said. "We twirl and jump through the air and spin on our tippy toes." "What fun," I said. "What's your outfit like?" I asked. "It's a purple tutu," said Allison. "What does yours look like?" I laughed and said, "Guess." The next day I got ready. I wore my pink tutu, pink slippers, and pink bows in my hair. Yes, as usual, she was wearing pink. Mommy took me to class. When we got there, I thought I saw a purple tutu. "That's Allison," I said. I ran inside to catch up with Allison. There were people all over. I thought I saw a flash of purple run into the room. "Allison, wait," I called. But Allison didn't hear me. I followed her into the class. I couldn't spot her with all the dancers. Just then the teacher walked in. "Okay, everyone," she said. "Take your place at the bar, and I'd have to find Allison later." Now, if you know anything about ballet, you know that on the side of a ballet room where they learn their lessons, there's this long bar along the wall, and ballet dancers hold on to that to warm up, and they hold on to that to practice the special movements of their feet. And the movements of their feet is called positions. "So it's time to warm up," said the teacher. "First position," she called. I looked around the room. Everyone was moving their feet, heels together, toes apart. This was easy. "Plie," the teacher sang. The ballerinas bent their knees, and so I did too. "Piece of cake." "Now, very good," said the teacher. "Now, let's go over the dance we learned last week." Well, I didn't know the moves, but I wasn't worried. Ballet seemed really, really simple. The teacher put on some music. The dancers moved their arms first, up and then down. Then they kicked their legs up and down. I followed along just fine. Now, suddenly, the music got faster. The girls skipped in a circle and jumped in the air. I was stuck in the middle. I did not know what to do. Everyone moved so quickly I couldn't keep up. When I hopped, they kicked. When I kicked, they swayed. "Hold on," I cried. But no one could hear me. I looked around for Allison, but she wasn't there. It was a girl who looked like Allison. I had made a mistake. Oh, dear. I knew I had to say something. I stopped dancing and raised my hand. "Excuse me," I said, "I think I'm in the wrong class." Just as I put my hand up, the dancers jumped up high. "Beautiful," said the teacher. "She didn't see me." I tried to get out of the circle, but the dancers linked arms. I tried crawling through their legs, but the dancers just hopped up and down. "Wait," I shouted, but nothing helped. I was trapped between tutus with no way out. "Get ready for the grand finale," the teacher called. I gulped. The girls spread out their arms and started twirling. "Oh," I said, happily surprised. "They were spinning. I could do this." I took a deep breath and whirled and twirled and spun around, and there she goes. I was spinning so freely, I didn't notice that everyone had stopped. The teacher looked at me confused. "You," she said. "You're not in this class." "Uh-oh," I whispered. I was sure I was in trouble. Instead, the teacher just smiled. "You must be in the wrong room," she said. "I'll have someone walk you to the beginner class. But first, would you spin again?" I twirled around once more. "You are so graceful," said the teacher. "Keep practicing, and soon you will be in my advanced class." In the beginner's class, I told Allison what had happened. "What was it like?" she asked. "It was too terrific, and I did a pirouette." And that's where you stand on your toes and spin around on one toe and hold the other leg up into a sort of cross it and hold it up to your knee. But anyways, beginner's ballet was fun, and these girls were really going to enjoy themselves in class. This book is called I Know a Rhino, and it's by Charles Fuge. I know a rhino. We like to take tea. I have 2 sugars and rhino takes 3. There's this big old rhino sitting at this tiny table, and the little girl is right across from him. The table's just right for her, but it's way too little for the rhino. I know a leopard who loves fancy clothes. He always looks great from his tail to his nose. Here the leopard is wearing a nice black top hat and a black coat and a white shirt and a black tie. He looks very spiffy. I know a giraffe. We laugh and we laugh and blow hundreds of bubbles when we take a bath. And there they are, the big old giraffe and the little girl. They both fit in the bathtub together, but the giraffe is really big for that little bathtub. I know a bear. And when it's sunny, we have a picnic with brown bread and honey. There the bear and the little girl are sharing bread and honey. And you know that bears love honey, don't you? I know a dragon. He's scaly and red. I look after him when he's sick and in bed. Poor dragon, he really does look sick. He looks so sad. And he's on a teensy-weensy little bed all tucked in there. And the little girl is helping to look after him. Guess who's in my band? His arms are quite long. He's an orangutan singing a song. And there's the orangutan jumping around singing. And his guitar is really a tennis racket. I know a pig. We play in the dirt. We always have mud fights, but no one gets hurt. I know a hippo, and when she's not busy, we spin round and round until we get dizzy. And there's a really silly picture of this big old rhino spinning round and round, and the little girl beside her, it's a girl hippo, isn't it? Little girl spinning around with her. These are my friends. I know them, you see. I know them quite well. Because they all live with me. And here the little girl is in her bed, sound asleep. And here are all her animals, her stuffed animals, sleeping on the bed with her. And there's the rhino and the hippopotamus and the dragon and the leopard and the pig and the giraffe and the brown bear and the orangutan. They're all stuffed animals. and she loves them all very much. And that's the end of the book called I Know a Rhino. And now, today, we're going to finish off with some nursery rhymes. Nursery rhymes are little poems that were written, many of them long ago, and they're meant for kids. And this one is called I Had a Little Hen. I had a little hen, the prettiest ever seen. She washed up all the dishes and kept the house so clean. She went to the mill to fetch me some flour and always got home in less than an hour. She baked me some bread, she brewed me my ale. She sat by the fire and told a fine tale. And that bread she makes sure looks good. It's a nice big loaf of white bread. And this one you probably know, called Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. You all know probably that Humpty Dumpty is really an egg, and he fell off the wall, and of course he cracked all to pieces. Now, this one's a short one. It's called There Was a Little Boy. There was a little boy went into a barn and lay down on some hay. An owl came out and flew about and chased the little boy away. That little boy was scared of an owl. And here's one. To market, to buy a fat pig. Home again, jiggity jig. And there's that little boy who's gone to market and bought a cute little pink pig. This is one of my favorites. There was a little girl, and she had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. And when she was good, she was very, very good. But when she was bad, she was horrid. Are you horrid when you're bad? What are little boys made up? Made of frogs and snails and puppy dogs' tails. That's what little boys are made of. And what are little girls made of? Sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what little girls are made of. Little girl, where have you been? I've been to see grandmother over the green. What did she give you? Milk in a can. What did you say for it? Thank you, grandam. Dance, little baby, dance up high. Never mind, baby, mother is by. Crow and caper, caper and crow. There, little baby, there you go. Up to the ceiling and down to the ground. Backwards and forwards, round and round. Dance, little baby, and mother will sing with a merry chorale. Ding, ding, ding. And that is all the time we have today for Reach Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at northcarolinareadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us again at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.